CliffCentral.com.
Are you ready to catch the vibe? Catch the 20-something vibe. Yes, what's good? The name is Nell Van... Well, actually, let me just say, I am the handsome, dashing Nell Van Given. And she is Team Free the Nipples, a.k.a. did I say Team Free the Nipples?
Yeah.
Do I got you? Well, let's see.
I'm here. Am I here? Yeah,
we do. All right, awesome, cool. Yeah. So this is 20-something CliffCentral.com. We're hanging out this week with founder of, I forgot to ask how you pronounce the name of your company. That would have been a good thing to do during the introductions, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Londi, do you know?
Actually, I also forgot.
You forgot?
Yeah.
It looks like Tulsa Wiz.
Tulsa Wiz.
Why? There you go.
Okay.
All right, I got it. All right. Cool. We're hanging out with the founder of Tulsa Wise, Nozuko Maeza, as well as the director of one of my favorite movies right now. Why is it my favorite? Because it's local and also it's got some insanely incredible scenes. Director of Love by Chance, Samid David.
Samad.
Yes. There you go.
Thank you.
Conversation is flowing. Nice. Okay. So, if you might have heard the No Borders guys inciting violence. Inciting anger in the females, boiling something. But we're going to take a whole different perspective on this conversation that's going on right now. That's got the country heated, especially females. Samad was actually asking, men are trash? There's a hashtag like that going on? He doesn't know. So we're going to put him on, yeah?
Yeah.
Put him on into the conversation.
Please do, because I'm still trying to recover from yeah.
From what you heard. Oh.
It's okay.
Okay. So, I want us to start this discussion by looking at beauty. Actually, one of the the lead female in Love by Chance, directed by Samad, Altavis Lawrence, who plays Bailey Kingston. Cool. She struggles with her beauty and herself, more so her hair. We've seen in recent weeks, the bleaching conversation has come back into conversation. So I want to discuss specifically black women, because I can't speak for other races. I don't know you. I've never been you. So I'm going to talk about us. There's a struggle with women, with females, in terms of your beauty. And that starts with the self-love and how the rest of the world or the external factors would impact you and how you live, right? So let's talk about beauty.
Beauty.
Yeah.
What is beauty?
What indeed?
I was not even.
Because it seems there's a lot of lack in self belief in females. Mm. So then you look for what you don't have somewhere else. And I want to talk about women as standalones, because that's what you are. You are phenomenal beings,
right.
And they shouldn't look for approval from. Absolutely. Anywhere else.
I always say there's two powerful, the two most powerful things on earth are women and water.
Ah. Oh. There you go.
Women are powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Very mighty.
Very mighty. I'm a father of I have three kids.
Yeah.
I have one daughter. That's my middle child. And I think it's extremely important to start while they're young to build their self-esteem. Mm-hmm. That's the job of a father. Mm. A father should give the confidence, instill the confidence into his daughter, instill the let her know that she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Consistently.
Yeah.
Let her know it's going to be okay. Not everyone's going to like you when you grow up.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to say you're pretty, but just know that you are. You know, you are beautiful. You are worth something. So these are the things I instill in my daughter. Listen to me say my daughter. I'm trying to turn down my New York accent, because you wouldn't hear the T if I say daughter. I just say daughter. But it's very important. And I think whether you're a father or a father figure to someone else's daughter or to your niece or to your little cousins, it's very important for men who have their head on straight, okay, to instill confidence into our women, into our young girls, because that's where it starts. And if you don't, then what you have is you have situations where men can come along and instill any kind of self-esteem, their version of that, while a woman's already grown. And she doesn't really know how to deal with that, because she's never been told she's beautiful. She's never been told certain things. And some guys are not honest. and they prey on women who are a bit insecure, and they use that. If you talk about, I heard the previous conversation where they were talking about you don't allow men to beat on you, which is 100% true. But unfortunately, we go back to that self-esteem thing that we talked about, and if a woman has no self-esteem and a man is a predator towards that, then they just constantly can manipulate, abuse, then say, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen again. And then in her mind, I don't want to lose the one person who I love the most. I may not get another one. And this guy's getting away with all kinds of nonsense because he's mentally, not only physically abusing her, he's mentally abusing her. So I go back to where I started. We have to support, nurture, and mentally stimulate and uplift the young girls. We have to. It's very important. Whether you're a father figure, uncle, cousin, brother, whomever that is, that's just me as a father. So it's disgusting to me when I hear women being sexually harassed. It's disgusting to me when I see men trying to use women, victimize women, whether it's being in a workplace or looking at them as sexual objects, because I think of my daughter.
Talk to us a bit about your lead characters in Love by Chance. Chance Crawford and Bailey Kingston. Talk to me about them being as a pair, and more so Bailey as an individual.
Well, okay, so they're both from South Africa. Love by Chance is a movie that's in cinemas right now. Please go see it tonight, tomorrow, Sunday.
Go see it.
It's very good. It's good for the industry as a whole. Hollywood would never come to Africa or South Africa and say, hey, we want to pick two actors to be the leads in an American movie. They'll cast Americans to be South African. So this is a big step for the industry as a whole. Bailey Kingston's beautiful woman, beautiful, beautiful character. Actors are very vulnerable, very insecure beings because they have to play so many.
Embodying so many facets. Yeah.
And sometimes they lose themselves in that process. So she plays a character who's trying to fit into what is beauty in America. Okay? And that's the different hairstyles, the different wigs and weaves are undercurrent in the film. As she uses those things to try to fit in, or when she's going on an audition, she thinks that's what
they want to see,
and that's not always the case, but that's what she believes. She struggles with that in the film, and her mother is always telling her, you know, be yourself and, you know, be beautiful, be who you are, it's okay. And she's trying to navigate hair politics, as she calls it. And then Chance Crawford, he likes her the way she is. He thinks she's just beautiful with her natural hair. You see, so that's just saying, you know, that's not what the film is about, but
some of what you see.
That's a nuance within it, you know, one of the dilemmas of our character.
I think it's very important, I like that you touched on it, that we teach young girls, but also not leaving out young men as well. All ages.
That's very true.
More essentially, young girls, that your body is yours.
Exactly.
And as soon as someone comes into your space and does something that doesn't sit well with you, you should know, cut them out.
Absolutely.
And they're not allowed to do that.
Absolutely. And it's funny. Am I talking too much? Because you haven't said anything.
No.
I hope we're not dominating this conversation.
I hope I'm not.
You're right. You know, one of the reasons why, personally, I'm quiet is because I'm trying to understand the male perspective of the whole conversation. We will get our
chance. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So I have two boys, right? So I teach them, honestly. If my youngest son will hold a door for any woman, any elder, just naturally. That, you know, these are the things I instill in them, because I want them to be gentlemen to someone else's daughter when they grow up. It starts with the boys as well.
Yeah.
I started with the girls because mentally we have to prepare them for the evil world that's out there. And they have to have a foundation and be strong because it's mental. The fight is mental. So it's energy as well. You may have guys who I call hyenas. You know what a hyena is? If she's moving, if she has a pulse, they're going after her. Okay?
They're waiting to pop.
No matter where they are. Oh, there goes two right there.
Like pop.
On it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, a hyena can go and do that all day. And he comes across the right woman. Right? Who's has her stuff together, mentally strong. Her energy can defeat his spirit instantly.
Yeah,
and
true.
He'll just run the other way. Yeah. And never bother her again. But it's the ones who they sense who are vulnerable that they is easy prey. And that's who they go to, you know? So women are very powerful, just in general. If you think about, I love nature pictures, right? Mm. So I, since a kid, I would stop and watch, back in America, the Serengeti. You know, aerial shots of a whole bunch of herds, right?
Running around.
But everybody's running from, all of them are running from the lioness. It's the lioness that everyone is scared of. It's the lioness that are, you know, devising plans and grabbing the food, right? So women are powerful. And then a lion comes along, he wants his lion's share. He wants his lion's share. Why? He wants his lion's share because it's his job to put his life on the line to protect the pride, because when the male cubs get big enough, they got to get out the pride. And they got to go find their own pride. So they come along to try to kill the male lion to take over his pride. And if so, they kill all the cubs and start all over. The point is, everyone is actually scared of the male, the female lion.
Yeah, the dominant.
And just in every species, women, females, are super, super powerful. And once we instill that fact in our children and our young girls, they grow up knowing that they're power.
So it boils down to our fathers and our and any other male in our families. What happens then when they don't do that? When they don't take responsibility and actually teach these things to young girls? What must happen?
I should be open to. I mean, again, it's unfortunate. Whether it's here in Africa, whether it's in the United States, it's unfortunate that any human being that could just leave their child, you know, the little boy, the little girl, not be responsible for them, is just disgusting. It's a waste. It's a waste of fresh air, in my opinion. Okay. With that said, not everyone has a father, so be open to that brother, that uncle, that cousin. That person who's willing to be some type of balance in your kid's life, especially the girls. Especially the girls. I mean, I keep saying especially the girls. The boys, you have to get them right as well. But the women, we have to make sure that they're mentally prepared for what's to come.
What a topic for me, guys. I look emotional because on my way here, I had a short meeting and it was about this. It's a friend of mine that I didn't know. She's going through so much and she was beaten up last night by her husband. He even went as far as pouring beer on her head in front of the children. So that's why I'm like quiet for almost 10 minutes now, because I'm like, I didn't know I'm gonna meet this year.
It's so hard. So hard to, I don't know. We were talking about this earlier, like being a woman on its own, it's just so hard. You know, having to wake up in the morning and leave the house and be scared that what is going to happen to me today? And now having to deal with our partners, people that we trust, our fathers, our partners, our uncles, these are the men that we trust in our lives. And they are the very same men who violate us in any other way. It's closer to home, so you guys should understand that it's gonna be so difficult for most of us to actually be vocal about it, because yes, we have to be, but these things are happening at our homes. They have happened. We've seen them happening, and you sit here and you're like, what then? What now? What must happen?
So we were discussing beauty, and you were refusing to take off your hat.
Yes.
And now you've got a scarf where your head previously was.
No, there's nothing wrong. I could have taken my head out and just, you know, walk around with, but then, hey, beauty guy.
I think if you can free the nipples, you can free the hair.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. Someone literally sent me a message and like, why aren't you wearing a bra? Why should I wear a bra?
What you described there is such a vicious, violent act, so gruesome, especially to do it. And I think if we can save it, anybody, it should be the kids. I understand that women are very angry right now, very heated about this. Mm. But it's important to remember that we shouldn't leave men out of the conversation. It shouldn't be a monologue coming just from the female perspective.
Yeah.
All of us, different ages, need to sit together and discuss like what is going on mentally with our society, because if these are continuing acts and they're happening every time, uh-huh. And a lot more than they should. I mean, the stats are scary if
ridiculous.
You go look at them.
It's bad.
So
really
we should
bad.
Really sit down and discuss and drive a way forward as uh-huh. beings uh-huh. together.
I agree.
Because if you
don't you think we've discussed this enough?
Then what do we do then?
What do we do?
That's the question that I have.
We've discussed it so many times. Where to from here? You know, we've got organizations like POW, we've got organizations like Brothers for Life, and
but have we discussed it in the way that you just suggested?
Yeah.
Have we?
With including the male.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I'm raising these organizations. I'm putting them out there. I'm like that initially. For Brothers for Life, initially when it started, that was the whole idea, to address the issues in our within our societies, what is going on mentally with our societies, and hence Brothers for Life came to life. But what happened? Have they done anything? Why do we even have to have organizations like POW? Like why?
Yeah, it's for me personally. It's a situation that I just don't know how we can deal with it as a nation. And I mean, from a female point of view, as I've said, that this is a matter that is very close to heart. Mm-hmm. You know, when you meet with a woman that is going through this, it doesn't matter what advice you give them. They just don't want to take the first step in terms of dealing with the situation. Maybe the husband is their sole provider, so I can't report my husband, you know, what is going to happen to myself and the kids. So I just don't know how we can deal with this. So for me, talking, I think we've done a lot of that and nothing is happening. Instead, people, they just know if I do this, this is the kind of sentence I will get. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So as per the solution in itself, we haven't started.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that our parents did bad. But I think for a long time, the world has been raising a lot of shitty human beings.
It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
And we can't fail the coming generations. You have a son.
A son, yeah.
Yes. And it's just the two of you.
Yes.
What's that relationship like?
Oh, my word. Okay.
He gets everything he wants.
Okay. When he was small, it was a very wonderful relationship. Now he's a teenager. And I also grew up from an environment where there wasn't a man per se. My dad was working in the city. So from my side, I'm also learning how to live with a man, so to speak, you know. And with him, he's got his own things. The relationship is on and off, you know. So he's an adult. I need to give him his space. Sometimes I forget he is, and I still treat him like a five-year-old. Like last night, the issue was about his hair, you know. So
wow. What happened with the hair?
Okay. In my opinion, his hair is not appropriate for school.
Sort of like mine, so.
Kind of.
All wild and...
You know, so those type of things. So that's the discussion at the moment. So the relationship really, it's in many stages with him. Like now is at that stage where mom just give him my space. I'm just figuring out myself, you know, and all of that without any father figure in my presence, you know. So that's the situation.
Listen to those complexities, though. Having to deal with that dynamic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a new experience for you.
Yeah, listen to this one when he had to go for the circumcision.
Oh, geez, that must have been a tough conversation.
Yeah. Taking him to the doctor, and now the doctor told me that I needed to monitor him to, you know, clean the wound and change the bondages and all of that. So how do I do that?
And he's not about you touching him. He was like,
you're never going to come when I shower.
In America, that happens 2 days, 3 days after you're born.
Yeah.
That happens. Like the next day or so. Mm.
I think we're just starting to learn that practice of circumcising our young.
On the now.
Yeah.
Like, 2 days later.
Yeah, done.
Literally, done.
Can you imagine having had to go through this experience here with your mother?
I can't.
Now, was it 3-4 days later where I needed to take him back to the doctor and asking, so is everything, like, I don't know. Fortunately, I had to ask security guard in the complex to come and help.
Ooh,
see,
wow.
there's another issue right there. I think our mothers are letting us down because, well, as young men and as men, because you don't want to talk to us. You'd rather go drag another man to come have a manly conversation with your son, your brother, whoever. Because I was under the same, I come from a family that's just females. And having had to go for circumcision, they brought in my uncle, who's also another awkward being who couldn't really say, this is what's going to happen, this is the procedure. So I think those conversations are missing about these particular things where you need them to understand your mindset on how to approach these issues.
But it's difficult. For instance, in Nozugu's situation, she even said, her father was never around. He was working. Like, she doesn't have that.
Right.
Like, what those conversations with her dad. She never had those conversations with her dad. So how does she approach the situation when she's faced with?
Right. I mean, we all go through that. I mean, that's why I was saying a lot of us in our generation or higher or maybe a little bit below have had to deal with absentee father or so there's different versions of that.
Yeah.
There's the father who may be in the house but a recluse.
Yeah, true.
There's the father who's around trying to support but he's out working. There's the ones who just left, may have passed on, and. But we have to just, that's why I just said, once you understand the problem, you understand that. If you can say, I understand, I didn't have my father at a critical point in my life.
Mm.
You understand? I got in trouble and all kinds of stuff. You know, he's made it up to me in other ways. But the point is, when I look at me as a parent, I got to make sure that I don't repeat certain mistakes and give the kids what they need to survive and be productive citizens, you know, in the world. So again, I believe in mentorship. I have a ton of, I'm uncle to a lot of people's kids. I'm serious. I'm godfather, uncle. I mean, and it may not be financial. It just may be the stuff that lasts forever is the mental nourishment. You know, little words count, words matter.
I think I'm going to add you to my list of uncles. I'm going to tell my daughter, you have an uncle in the States. Why not?
Wow.
You did Love by Chance. I also work with Top Actor as well.
Top Actor.
What can we expect in terms of work coming out from Samar Davis?
Well, we're releasing Love by Chance. Love by Chance will be rolling into the rest of Africa in the next couple of weeks, into the United Kingdom, limited release, into the United States, July. I'm just pushing that through. Other film projects I'm doing here, naturally. Top Actors is going into a new season as well, season 3. Full plate of stuff that we're doing.
Okay.
I'm curious to know how it was working with Atandwa and Altavis.
Oh, excellent. So Altavis won season 1 of Top Actor, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I saw she came fresh out of drama school and auditioned. She almost didn't make the cut. She made the cast. She ultimately won the show. So I had a inside, bird's eye view of her progression and her capabilities as an actor. Okay? So that was easy. And actually, Love by Chance, the motivation was to create a platform for, you know, that supported that series.
Yeah.
You understand?
So that there's a jump to something bigger.
Yes, absolutely. And Atandwa was a guest judge on Top Actor. He did my theater challenge. He was in one of the, he was the guest director in the theater challenge. And I got to work with him. And he's a funny guy. So I said, we have to do something together.
Guy.
He's just a funny guy. So we maintained the friendship. And naturally, I would give him a call and just say, take a look at this script and what do you think? Very talented. No daylight between the South African actors, including Nicholas Nkuna, who was a finalist on Top Actor.
Oh, yeah.
Denise Zemba also was in the film, as you know. There's no daylight between the South African actors and the actors from Hollywood. I mean, the respect is mutual respect. It's just like they all came to play, they all came to work, and it's on screen. It's just, It was a fun film to make, actually. It didn't feel like work at all.
Wow.
There is a question for you. Do filmmakers have a responsibility to culture? And this person goes and says that, do you feel that being a creative person requires you to give back or tell a particular story or not do something else?
Well, we have a responsibility. As a filmmaker, first of all, you are asking people to take time out of their lives. Uh-huh. You're asking people to spend their money, right? And we owe it to them to create some form of escapism, right? Uh-huh. Whether that's happiness, sad, being scared, whatever that may be. So we have a responsibility to entertain. We take that for granted, that we're I'm in the entertainment business. Mm-hmm. What does that really mean? Mm-hmm. Could you imagine a world without entertainment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't turn on and listen to a song that takes you someplace nice, you couldn't turn on a TV and just escape for an hour or 30 minutes, or go to the movies and escape for an hour and a half. You'll be stretched out.
Yeah.
You understand? Entertainment has power. So with that comes responsibility. And with the responsibility, yes, I agree. My mantra is even in my bio, my whole thing is bridging a cultural gap through the power of entertainment.
Uh-huh.
Bridging a cultural gap through the power of the lens.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So when I make, let's look at Love by Chance, for instance.
Yeah.
I did not make the Americans better than the South Africans. I didn't make the South Africans better than the Americans.
Yeah.
I told a human story about some actors, some two people who happened to be in America trying to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So the jokes are even. Each side is learning something.
Mm-hmm.
Because in America, we're very ignorant to Africa, extremely. Mm-hmm. And that's because we've only been fed the Serengeti.
Yeah.
That embodies all nature.
Yeah.
HIV, oh some kind of warlord, some kind of dictator.
Yep.
And you just disease. That's what's been fed to America for decades.
Oh.
So we don't know it's 54 countries. We don't know South Africa is not just the southern part of Africa, it's actually a country.
Yeah.
There's so much ignorance in it. So I wanted to subliminally address certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And then vice versa. Mm-hmm. So that I had a cultural responsibility to. I've been in Africa. I've been coming to August will make 10 years. Hmm. I've been coming back. I've been to 14 countries in Africa. I've done all kinds of stuff, from humanitarian works to other businesses to entertainment. And I love that
exchange.
That exchange.
Yeah.
So, and me being an African American, as they call us, I did my DNA test, by the way.
Okay.
I'm probably more African than all of you.
Oh, shit.
I'm all over. I'm spread out. I'm Cameroonian, Congolese, Nigerian, all kinds.
Nice.
Through slavery, you know, slavery. They mixed us all up.
Yeah.
But, yes, we have a cultural responsibility I'm a content producer. That's what I call myself. And I believe that if I have the power to create an idea, get the idea financed, produce the idea, and then market the idea and put it to market, that's powerful.
Mm.
So with that, I need to at least be value added beyond trying to make a buck.
Mm.
So I hope I answered that question.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did.
You said you have another engagement, so I'm going to thank you for your time. It's been so cool hanging out and having this exchange with you. Really, really cool linking up.
Yes, please go see Love by Chance this weekend. It's very important. Again, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than the film. It's bigger than who's in it. It's value added for the continent and what it means for the entertainment industry. Okay, so go support.
Stop watching The Fast and the Furious. Jeez, that was so
they made enough money. They made enough money. They don't need your money. They already started pre-production for the next two installments.
We'll be the end.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram, please.
Oh, yes.
I'm at Samad Davis. That's SamadDavis.
Uh-huh.
At Samad Davis.
To the most African American, Samad Davis, thank you so much for the cultural exchange, bro. Keep advancing the culture.
Thank
you. While we're still talking work, let's get to this phenomenal lady who's ass kicking this male, or actually, all industries are male dominated. One of those other male dominated industries, logistics. Hey?
I'm just listening. I didn't know. Before I leave out, I want to hear.
Okay. The founder of Tools with Logistics. You're doing major things. You're a movement. Yeah. Nozuko Maeza.
I don't know how to answer that one. We're trying. No. We're trying. Mm. We're trying.
What attracted you? Where did it all begin?
It's something I didn't look for it. It just came. You know when opportunity just comes, you know, at your door. That's how I describe it. Before that, I was working for a corporate, for one of the big banks in South Africa. But
good time to leave, eh? Well done. You dodged the bullet, okay?
So I was like, no, something is missing here. 7 years later, I then left the bank to start my own business. At that time, what I had in mind was to open a clothing shop. You know, that's what I had in mind. So in the process of putting that together, registering a business and all of that, an opportunity came in the trucking business. It was through a friend of mine who introduced this opportunity to me, and then he offered to take me through it. By that I mean he told me what do I need to do, you know, to get into the industry. And how long do I need to put that together? Mm. You know, so it was one of those things that just came, you know, as a package. And obviously, I grabbed it.
And this friend of yours is a man, right?
Oh. Obviously.
I have to mention it. I need to look at the dynamics of this working industry and the whole male-female conversation right now.
Yes. Mm.
So how has been the journey? Like, how has been the shift from banking to logistics?
It's been a very rough one in terms of, you know, when you are working in a corporate, everything is like standard, you know, you go to work at this particular time, knock off at this time, this happens at this time. Working for yourself, you've got to make things happen at that time, you know. So it was really a serious transition for me, getting the business to you know, be established and get running, you know, and competing with males, you know, that are already in this for a very, very long time. Yeah, so it was tough. But, I mean, I've met wonderful men who really, really, really helped me through it.
And you are, is there a movement? She Leads Africa. What is She Leads Africa? Because you're part of it. Just take us through that and explain what is it all about.
I'm part of it by helping them on the mentorship side.
Okay.
It's a movement. I think they help young girls in terms of mentorship across all sectors. So they identified me to come on board and assist on the logistics side.
How though?
So I
you must be you must be doing something right though to be recognized by such a movement.
I just got a mail from She Leads. You know, they just explained to me, we are She Leads, we're doing this and that, would like you to come on board, would you be interested? I responded, but I first wanted to meet the person. No. So we met somewhere in Sandton, and
if someone came up to you, Jay, out of nowhere and said, I also want to get into logistics, like, what would you say to that person?
You need to learn about the industry. Learn about everything, basically the truck itself, the routes, as well as your fuel consumption.
So what does your company do?
Okay, transport goods and commodities. Okay, goods, be it coal, manganese, chrome, mine to mine, or mine to our harbors nationally. Or it could be goods like from one shopping center to the next. You know, so that's what we do.
You're working. You really are working.
And she might be getting more work either.
You know, after this.
Because I was just talking to Samad and he was like, yo, man, I want to link up with Nozuko. Because I do the same work. So, you know, we need to link up. So I'll give you his details and, you know, the cultural exchange will continue.
So you're going global.
Wow. speaking of global, you were overseas recently. At a business conference, expo, something.
Yeah, I do travel abroad for business.
Of course you do.
For business conferences. Yeah, so it was a business conference, more about investments, business. So it's basically you meet people that would like to come and invest in South Africa. So obviously they need the channels to come and do, you know, open up businesses in South Africa, or maybe assist non-profit organizations.
Mm-hmm. Outside logistics, outside Chile, this aid, are you involved with other projects, and what are they if you are?
Outside logistics, I do mentorship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I give back to the community. So I mentor young girls mainly from the townships. Mm-hmm. So after church on a Sunday, I'll drive to a township and meet up with a group of girls, mm-hmm. or maybe boys, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
What age?
From any age, as mm-hmm. long as you are interested in starting up a business and you know what you want to do. Every time I come across question like, but I don't know what I want to do, and I'll say, until you know what you want to do, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't spoon feed, obviously. you can't give them the dreams or give them the drive. I appreciate that you're actually having these conversations or letting in young girls into one of these industries that isn't the normal one that we sort of see and pick from the tree, like, oh yeah, I want to do that. Now, in terms of being in this field, being in logistics, being in this industry, as a female, obviously, that was always going to be difficult. You're walking into these boardrooms, talking to these people and presenting to, you know, a group that doesn't necessarily represent you or reflect you, not represent, reflect you. Mm. Is it a power struggle, do you find?
Yeah, it is. You know, I always tell people logistics, it's not only that you will face challenges at a boardroom level, even... at the workplace, drivers are males. You
yes.
deal with males.
Oh,
across.
Wow.
You would come back from a boardroom meeting, going, driving maybe to the mine to meet your drivers there. They will still give you a hard time. You are a woman. What do you know? You must know the drivers. They're not really diplomatic about how they would approach you with those things. They tell you, edit is one incident. If a truck maybe has broken down or something, you like, you know, did you check what it is? Or maybe you... just try and say, just put on the ignition and tell me what it is. Hey, man, what do you know? Oh. Woman? You know, so it's really an industry that if you're a woman, you just have to, you know, be ready.
You have
for
to be
it.
Savvy. You have
I
to be.
I tell you, it's
vicious.
Just not, it's not easy.
Mm.
Yeah. But look, there are wonderful men out
True.
There. Yeah, I would not have been standing now if it wasn't for those men. It's just a few that really will give you a hard time, but that those that would always come on board, you know.
As she's talking, Nozuko is talking, I'm thinking of the lead in The Queen.
Yeah.
Koza tracking.
Yeah.
Obviously, different industry. They do other stuff. You know, it's more like TV stuff. If you know The Queen, the show, yeah, okay, Nozuko is not doing that.
No, she isn't.
Similar. I'm thinking of that, and I'm also thinking of the males that are around her, that are that she's surrounded by.
Mm.
And it sort of brings this idea that, is there trust? Like, are you able to trust the people that you are working with in terms of not thinking that, okay, maybe they might want to overthrow me or, you know, slow down the business somehow, or, you know, just not have the right sort of idea that will push your business forward. And I'm assuming, I mean, you're solo in this.
Mm. Yes, I am.
So you are the only family member in this thing.
Basically.
Basically. So what relationship does trust play?
Look, for me, trust goes a long way. First of all, if I don't trust you, I don't work with you. So I just have to trust people around me, you know. Because else it's never going to work. I always tell people that working with people, it's like marriage, you know. Mm. We have to trust each other at that level.
Mm.
Else just don't do it.
Hmm. Trust goes hand in hand with respect.
Mm.
Do you find that you receive the respect that you deserve?
I do. It depends.
It depends.
I said, tracking is very vast. You know, it depends. At a driver's level, respect there is not so much, you know, something that you would experience every day. However, trust, yes, you would have that driver that you really, really trust. If he's telling you that I'm stuck in, you know, in highway or this and that, you know, it is indeed the case,
mm-hmm.
you know. So trust at that level, I mean respect at that level, you're not really going to get it. But, you know, to the boardrooms and the stuff, you really get respected by the fact that you're a woman and you're in this. It comes before trust.
Because they acknowledge what you do, the fierce amount of work that you put in. A few weeks ago, we were talking to one of the co-founders of Back to the City, which is an event that happens every year on Freedom Day. And one of the things that came up in that conversation was the struggle to get funding as a black business. So I want to know if the stigma of being a black business has ever been attached to what you do. Has it hindered you in any way? Is that even a real thing?
Yeah, it is a real thing. It has hindered me in many ways.
Yeah.
I would have been far by now if it wasn't for that.
Further, not far. You're already far. You're already further.
You think I'm far?
You
okay.
Are.
All
you
right. Are. I would have been further by now. Okay, I take that. Look, funding is always an issue in South Africa. It doesn't matter in which sector you're operating in. It's just a problem. You know, even in the trucking, you know. Before black people got into the trucking business, this is what I heard, that banks used to really give people finance.
Yeah.
You just needed to have a contract and finance would be in place. But it is now no longer the case.
But do you know why?
Give us the juice. You were in there. You were banking there and then giving out things.
You should have an idea as to why.
Puma nenda.
Many reasons. Yeah. Many reasons. You know, some of the people, not necessarily black, business failures, they come, I mean, to everyone. Some of the people really didn't manage the business as well. And I mean, you know, trucking is a very capital intensive business. So banks would have obviously lent so much money and they were unable to recover that back. So that is one of the reasons they're not so much keen now to easily, you know,
give out
the money to black businesses.
Ah.
I'm not sure about, you know, my white colleagues, how are they finding the financing when it comes to the banks? Other government agencies, I hope I'm not putting myself in serious trouble. I would think the issue is people you deal with, you know, they don't understand the nature of this business. Mm. Because when you are looking for funding, this is just my logic. You would approve me based on the story that I'm telling you. I've got this contract to transport this juice from point A to point B 5 days a week, and I'm paid 1 rand per load. From that 1 rand, my expenses are 60 rands. 40 cents is my profit times that by. So now with them, they would look at, okay, your costs, you know. They would not understand that this is a volume business, you know. Mm. I could just be profiting maybe 40 cents, but times that by million, you know.
Mm.
So they penalize you based on, you know, so it's a struggle. When we sit around with those government agencies, we do raise these things, of course. They'll say they'll go look at, you know, how they realign themselves. And, yeah, it's just a lack of understanding from the front office people.
I feel like we're finally sitting in that boardroom.
You know?
It's going down right now.
The way she just broke it down.
Yeah.
For
selling this juice.
Yeah.
Transporting this juice from point A to point B. And then you broke it down to that. I'm like, ooh, yeah, I know.
You know, like you telling them about your losses. You know, like, okay, on this load, I'm going to lose 2 cents. That's nothing.
Mm.
But remember, I told you that I'm doing 1 million loads. So 2 cents times 1 million. It's a lot of money.
That is
so
really
what do you enjoy about what you do? I mean, you've got that business drive and that business acumen about you. So obviously that's already fun that you're in business. But about this specifically. Is it fun? It is fun, isn't it?
It is fun. Yeah. Else I wouldn't be doing it now. What I enjoy about it is, one, the independency. I like doing what I want to do in my own time.
Woo! There goes the whip,
that's
boy.
One.
Yes.
Two, the challenges that comes with it. either there's a tire burst somewhere, or, you know, loads being lost in between. You know, every day when, if you have a truck on the road, you must know that there would be something, you know, coming up. So all the, I've gotten used to it such that it feels so boring when there isn't anything happening, because I'm used to my phone ringing 20 times. So it has just become, you know, who I am.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like blood flowing in your body.
Yeah.
I tell you. Like, oh, nothing happened today.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would you attribute your success to, or what would you attribute your success to?
Wow.
There must be the thing that you look at it and like, if it wasn't for this, or
it's,
if it wasn't
things,
for the
that's
person.
What I'm thinking. It's not really one thing. Okay. First of all would be my mom, obviously. And the other thing would be the people I work with. You look, when you're dealing with the drivers, you know, they would come to you with their problems. I don't want my children to become drivers. I want them to be this and that. So those are the things, you know, that they really, I look and like, you know, I have to continue to do this. They give me so much inspiration, you know, to push forward. So it's many things. I'm that type of a person that life has taught me that I don't want to have one thing, you know, that I say I can attribute this to, you know, because what if tomorrow is, it's no longer there, you know, so it's many things. I try as much as I can in looking into many things, you know, and get my inspiration there.
Get your drive, get your game on. In this interview with She Leads Africa, all right. One of the things you said was talking about your son, obviously, as you would. I mean, you know, twinkle of my eye, darling of my heart, and such. You said that he obviously has to get used to certain things, like you not being there all the time. You're going to miss those games, and you're going to miss those shows, and you won't always see the homework or the successes and the failures. So you won't always be there. And I feel kind of sorry for him. He's next in line.
Basically.
Essentially. Right? And he's also probably, would you groom him to, have you had those thoughts? Mothers think for us all the time.
Yeah.
You fantasize about us in
various places.
That's part of
the reasons we clash, you know. Look, I've come to realize that I need to let him be who he wants to be.
Ish.
I wouldn't really make him come join me in the business, though I would love to. But it's a choice that he will have to make.
That's hard as a mom, you know, because you sit there and you think, I would really like my child to be this, and that. And they're like, nope. Mm-mm. I'm not about that life. And you just have to live with it. It must be really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, it is.
You would think that, okay, I've secured a future for him. I've done so much. The least he could do is to literally take over and run with the bait, you know?
Yeah, no, he's not about to get into trucking. Getting his hands dirty with trucks. That one, we really understand each other there. His interests are really not something that is within my space. Mm. My son is into music and whole arts, basically. That's it, my son. And sometimes he'll be telling me, this is the artist, I don't know, you know, artist of his age. And, you know, the hairstyles and all of that. You know, he makes me feel like I'm already in my 60s. I don't mean someone who's in 60s is old. But yeah.
Who are some of the artists from your time? No, just generally speaking. I want to understand what music you're listening to. What's the clash?
Wow, in my time. Okay, I'll start with the R&B because that's that used to make me tick. Tevin Campbell.
Oh, yes.
Boyz II Men. All for One. Oh my God, you're taking me back to those days.
Okay, what when you're not working? Okay, obviously you were. There's so much flexibility because you own your own boss. What do you do for fun?
I go to the gym. I like sports lately. Before that, I would just, you know, chill, be at home, and either maybe read a book or a Bible, you know. I try and make time for myself because I also go crazy, you know. So I really relax, and when I mean it's a time for me to relax, I keep it that way.
Do you read? Do you read books?
Not so many business books.
Business books. What are you currently reading?
By Richard Branson. What is it? But it's more about leadership. I read books about leadership, management, you know. So I could read five at the same time.
Essentially always bettering yourself and pursuing to become a better manager, better boss. And hopefully create new ideas as well, right? Does your son call you mama or by your name?
Unfortunately, I'm one of those mama babies on Gosis.
Because
I was young when I had him. And I mean, my mom raised him, you know, so. Because I was still at school and all of that.
I ask because black parents don't allow us to call them by their names. And it's such a strange thing for me. As I've grown up, I'm just like, why? Why should I call you something other than what you were named? Strange for me. But
very strange.
Should be origin. Yeah.
Very interesting. We've got what is called Fast Five. So I'm going to ask you five questions and you just need to answer them as quickly as you can.
My goodness.
Because we're literally running out of time. So first question is, if you could have an endless supply of any food, what would you get?
I love food. What would I get? Anything eatable.
Wow. If you were an animal, what would you be and why?
Lion.
Okay, I don't think you need to elaborate on that. Like, it's pretty obvious. What is one goal you'd like to accomplish during your lifetime?
My business becoming an international brand.
When you were little, what was your who was your favorite superhero?
Ooh, it was my uncle. Who passed on.
What is your favorite thing to do in summer?
Sitting in a swimming pool because I can't swim.
Can we not talk about the water thing and swimming? It's just, can we not? I feel like you lost that one. No, it's okay. I'd rather not get into it.
It's been good, easy vibes. Thank you to Samar Davis, and thank you finally to Nozuko Mayeza. You are a brilliant being. Such fun vibes, Londiwe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Show my jersey next week. Look out for that.
Should be fun.
Should be good times. Cliffcentral.com.